The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
There's a real risk of underinsurance as a result of COVID-19, and I imagine this is because people get their insurance bills and they have to pay a whole year in advance usually. And if income is slightly reduced or significantly reduced, as it has been for a number of families, that is a real concern for people, and there's a real risk of people being underinsured. On the line to talk about this is Dr. Antonia Settle. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Well, can you talk about this issue of underinsurance? How widespread do you think the problem is?
Well, what we've done is we've done some research that does suggest that it's somewhat more widespread than we'd realised. So what we've done is we've looked at households who are entering into the early stages of financial stress. So just one indicator of financial stress rather than two, three or four, which is a more common definition of financial stress. So we're looking at pretty normal households who have just had a little bit of a shock, and we're finding that they're cutting their insurance spending by quite a bit, by something like 25%. So quite widespread.
And the issue, of course, is with JobKeeper ending, a number of people have been stood down or they may be on reduced hours, so insurance could be one of the first things to go.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we're seeing a couple of really long-term issues. I suppose a few things are coming to a head. I think that for quite a long time, research has suggested that households actually are kind of, skating on thinner ice. They've got less wiggle room in their budgets. So generally speaking, especially with housing costs becoming what they're becoming, households don't have a whole lot to spare. And there's been quite a few different indicators of that as an issue. So it looks like when we get a shock, something like the COVID shock, but any kind of recessionary shock, it can be quite a small shock. What we're seeing is households dropping their insurance. We're also seeing premiums rise at the same time, and we're certainly on a trajectory to see greater rises in insurance premiums. So those two things come together and spell, you know, a bit of a rising problem, I think, on the horizon there.
Why are insurance premiums going up? Is it because things are becoming riskier to insure for the companies?
Pretty much. I mean, I think there's a couple of different reasons in life insurance. Apparently the issue is that mental health issues have been less stigmatised. People are making more claims. Life insurers are not wanting to push their premiums up because they don't want to lose market share. So that's kind of an interesting set of issues there. We're also seeing rises in medical insurance, but house insurance, that's an obvious one. That's about climate change. So we're seeing fires, floods, a whole lot of very expensive hailstorm events that are pushing premiums up. And what our research shows is that if households are going to be cutting their insurance just in those early stages of financial stress, so if households are treating insurance more as discretionary spending than as a necessity, which is the assumption of economists. Economists assume that households are just simply going to accommodate rising premiums. But if we're seeing households cut their insurance spend when they enter into financial stress, this suggests that as premiums are pushed up and up and up, more and more households are going to drop into underinsurance. And that really creates a big problem for the whole of society, really.
On the issue of discretionary spending, is it the mentality of if someone is under financial stress and they've got people demanding that they pay certain bills, you know, within the next week or 24 hours or something, they're going to listen to that as opposed to paying an insurance company for a problem that may happen way down the line?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's also a problem of rising costs. If we look at the way that household spending has evolved over the last 30 years or so, the way that prices are moving, we see that wages aren't rising in the same way that costs are rising. So we're seeing huge, huge rises in the cost of housing, for example, both rent and mortgages. Those costs are really pushing up. Education, healthcare, insurance, these kind of costs are rising much faster than wages. So households are just on a thinner and thinner wedge. So as soon as there's a bit of a shock there, something has to go. And households are really tied into so much fixed spending that insurance is more likely to be the one that gets cut.
What is concerning is it's the people that can least afford it that seem to be cutting back on the insurance, because I'd imagine people on higher incomes or have people that have more assets, they can probably afford to self-insure, whereas people that are on lower incomes can't, and they really need an insurance payment in the event that something goes wrong, particularly to, say, a house, which might be their biggest asset and their place of residence.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And for house insurance, I mean, it's a real worry if we look at particularly rural areas where premiums are going up in some places, as has been reported with the recent flooding in New South Wales. Whole areas are becoming uninsurable, and you know, if you live there, it's hard to sell your house if no one, if the buyer can't insure it. Aside from the fact that, you know, you're in your community, you don't want to move because the insurance is going up. Households are really stuck. Like, this is a really big problem that's only going to get worse.
So what happens from here? I mean, how do you help people in that situation? Is there room for government policy here?
Well, that's a really, I mean, it's a really tricky set of issues. So I think that what we're trying to flag with this research is that we really need to start thinking a lot more about this, because we're going to see this as a bigger and bigger problem as time passes. And so certainly I think that policymakers need to sit down and try and figure out how to share the costs of protecting, providing security to households between the market, between the government, and between households. And there has been some interest amongst policymakers. So I think there is some kind of acceptance that this is a rising issue, but we really need to make some progress here, because it's a really tricky set of issues.
What about from the insurance company's point of view? Because you mentioned they're not keen to raise premiums because they don't want to lose market share. How competitive is the insurance landscape in Australia?
Oh, that's a tricky one. Look, as I understand, the issue for insurance companies is that the reinsurers that insure the insurance companies are pushing up their premiums. So there is nothing much that they can do except to raise premiums. The insurance companies are in a tricky position too, I suppose. With very low interest rates, it's difficult for insurance companies to make any money out of their financial investments. So, yeah, it's a difficult sector, but they're sharing that space with the government and with regulators. So I think that the solution is for the way that division of profit and loss between the government and insurance companies, that needs to be kind of reorganised.
And, yeah, the idea that you were talking about just before is something else that stands out, this idea that places could become uninsurable and, I suppose, by extension, almost unlivable. And these are whole areas where people have already developed and built property there, but because of floodplains and so on, it's becoming increasingly challenging.
That's right. And we're seeing some of those arguments come out after those floods in New South Wales, where we're seeing the blame being pushed around. Insurance companies are saying, we won't insure you. Households are saying, well, why did we get the approval from the council to build here? And, you know, you can imagine that kind of debate's a pretty sticky one.
Yes,
a lot
correct.
Of finger pointing going on.
Well, look, thanks for being on the program. Really appreciate it. I hope that people think about this issue, because it could be something that's sitting dormant, but something that becomes a bigger issue in years to come.
Yeah, that's right. Great, thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Antonia Settle with us there.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.